Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Malcolm's Master's Theocast, a podcast journaling my master's in theological studies. I'm trying to take the mystery out of what it means to study a master's in theology. And along the way, I shall be sharing what I'm learning about studying theology and the master's specifically. And today is episode 3, and it's entitled Dealing with Dyslexia. Yes, that's right, Dealing with Dyslexia. Now, why is this a thing? Well, as I got close to the start of the master's, I had a degree of excitement, but also a fair degree of trepidation. And that's because in the induction week, the week running up to the beginning of the studies, I found myself doing a lot of online filling in of forms. There was an induction study period, which was very helpful. It was done online, and online there were on the relevant website pages linking to PDFs. And from the PDFs, one was supposed to think about, read about, and then write some things down and record it back on the page that you were on before, and then to go back to a different page and then track your progress by clicking on a button before you can move on to read another PDF, which took you to another page to write some things down to fill back. And this seemed to go on and on, and I found it very confusing and somewhat frustrating. I'm not sharing this as a criticism of the people who designed the site. I think it was just, for me, it surfaced something. And what it surfaced was remembering that back in 2008, the last time I was at the London School of Theology studying theology, I found myself similarly very frustrated by some of the subjects that I thought I'm finding is very different to grasp. And is it because my IQ is not adequate, or is there something else going on? And I came to the conclusion that I think I was intelligent enough to deal with these things, but something was getting in the way. And so I asked the college to arrange for me an assessment with an educational psychologist. And she did a report for me that revealed that I am dyslexic, something I didn't know before, and something I found actually quite hard to accept, partly because I like reading and I've always associated the idea that reading is difficult for people with dyslexia. But there were a number of issues around this. But I'm so glad that I had that report then, but I've kind of forgotten about it. I put it on one side because I've not been studying at that level. It doesn't seem to have affected me, at least not enough, to where I felt the need to deal with it more directly and specifically. But I realized now in 2021, going into this master's, that the feelings of frustration were the same as what happened between 2003 and 2009, the last time I was at the London School of Theology. And then it hit me. It hit me that I'd never really accepted the fact that I was dyslexic. In fact, I'm not sure I told anybody, apart from my wife, maybe, or somebody. And I realized this time I need to grasp it. I need to grasp the nettle, partly because it's a real issue and partly because I'm now studying at a higher level, at a master's level. And so the challenges I have around dyslexia are even more significant. Now, as you're listening to this, you may say, well, I don't have an issue with dyslexia or something. So perhaps what I'm talking about here might not apply directly to you. But there may be some principles that you'll find useful, because what we're talking about here is not so much dyslexia as such, although I will be talking about it a bit, but it's actually about recognizing our strengths and weaknesses in studying, about working out what the best study techniques and strategies are, and some principles to apply. So I hope that as I talk about what I've learned so far, that you might find that useful if you are a student at whatever level. I'd like to let me know what you think about all this. So first of all, I realized that I needed to explore the dyslexia arena, if you like. So first of all, I dug out the old report, which I still had in my filing cabinet, and reread it to confirm that actually dyslexia is the correct thing that I have as a challenge. And then from there, I went on, well, you can imagine, I went onto YouTube and I just typed in dyslexia or studying for dyslexia with dyslexia or master's level studies in dyslexia, all kinds of searches like that. Found some interesting things on there. And I found a link to a friend of mine. This was a strange thing, and I think I knew this, but I'd forgotten that a friend of mine called Caroline Bateman has her own business helping parents and children with dyslexic issues. And so I watched a couple of her videos, and then I rang her, and we had a chat, which was really helpful. And Caroline, thank you so much for that. And if I can point anybody your way, I'd be happy to do so. After that, I then contacted the London School of Theology and talked to the wonderful Clara there, and we exchanged messages, and she, because she's responsible for this kind of area of student challenge, if you like, at the school, And then she put me in touch with Jane from Phoenix Dyslexia Consulting, PDC. Yeah, that's it. Okay. And then we had a session last week of coaching, of dyslexia coaching, which is really, really helpful. I'm going to have another one this week, actually. And we've been working on some strategies. We're going to get more to the details of strategies next time. This first session, this last week, was more about figuring out what my particular challenges are and also what my aims are, because studying for a master's is a bit different from studying for some other kind of level. And so we had a really good conversation about that. And I have developed a few strategies. So let me share with you my current strategies. I'm sure these will change and develop, but this is where I am so far, which are helping to make my studies more meaningful. And I'm finding I'm getting more out of my studies at the moment by using these strategies. So the first thing is an app called Speechify. This was developed by somebody who's dyslexic. And the way I'm using Speechify is I load up PDFs I'm meant to read into Speechify, and then it reads it to me. As it reads it on the screen, it also highlights exactly which words it's reading. So you read visually on the screen, watching the highlighter go along the text at the same time as hearing it read to you. The speed of the reading can be changed from just normal speed to 1.25, 1.5, or whatever you want. And I use that for the PDFs that are part of my course. We're often sent or have stored online PDFs, a chapter of a certain book, that kind of thing. And so I find that listening as well as at the same time looking at the text is very helpful. It'll also read to me in the car if I've got it plugged into the system. So I'm obviously not reading on screen when that's happening, but I can listen to PDFs being read to me. That I found very helpful. That's an app called Speechify that works on the iPad and on the iPhone. And then the second thing I've done is similar, is to mix the visual, the kinetic, and the oral together in terms of the different ways of absorbing information. Visual, kinetic, and oral. What does that mean? Well, so for example, I've downloaded the Alexa app onto my iPad and my iPhone because that will read Kindle books for me. Now on the Mac, you can do text-to-speech for Kindle, but on the iPhone and the iPad, I found Alexa to be quite handy, so that I can ask to read a Kindle book for me. Just say Kindle, you say Alexa, read Kindle book, give it the title, chapter 2 or something, and it will read it. And again, you can adjust the reading speed. And what I'm doing with that is I'm opening the book in front of me, or opening the Kindle book in front of me, and if I've got a PDF of it as well, which I sometimes do, or even a printed book, I'll have that open as well. And then I'm listening to it and I'm reading at the same time and I'm highlighting at the same time, having used the highlighter and also a pen to mark some notes here and there in the margins. And then I go back, if I haven't done so already, and I'll highlight the Kindle book with the same highlights I've done in the printed version. So I'm listening and reading and highlighting at the same time. When I've done that, I'm making a mind map of the main points of that chapter of that book or that PDF. And so I've been using my hands to highlight. I've been using my eyes to read. I've been using my ears to listen. And I'm using the printed page, but I'm also using the mind map system, which is a bit different visually. And then I make notes. You know, I try to decide based on the course and what we're being asked about, what do I need to make sure I keep a note of most specifically? And that goes into my Apple Notes file on the Mac from there. So that's what I'm doing with the visual, the kinetic, and the oral mixture of learning. I'm also making more detailed plans of what I'm going to do and when that is, and putting those in my diary. That's helping. When is that next essay due? Okay, when do I need to have it finished by? Which is a day or two before, of course. I'm also beginning to use Chrome more than Safari. I like Safari, but Chrome has an extension called an overlay. I'm not sure how you pronounce it exactly, but it's overlay with an N in front. And I've downloaded that and used that on Chrome. And I find that's a bit easier to read. The glare of the white background I find more difficult. So Chrome with an overlay I'm using for any reading online. I still use Safari for most other browsing, but if I have to do some reading, I'm using Chrome. I'm also using a couple of other apps, one called Grammarly and one called Hemingway. What those are for, for example, I've been writing an essay each week, I'll write the essay and then I will copy and paste it into this app called Grammarly, and that will give me spelling checks, it will give me grammar checks, it'll give me punctuation checks, and I use that to make adjustments, and I then copy and paste that into Hemingway, which is similar but a little bit different. It seems to give a bit more, pay a bit more attention to the readability of what I've written, and often I'll find that, that everything's highlighted in brown, which basically means this is very difficult to read. And of course, I've written it, so it's easy for me to read, but it may not be easy for the person I'm sending it to read. So Grammarly and Hemingway, I'm finding very useful. Okay, I'll stop there for this week. It's probably enough. This is what I've done so far. Speechify, Alexa, Kindle, Mind Maps, Text to Speech, Chrome, Novalee, Grammarly, Hemingway. That's where I am so far. Do you have particular strategies that work well for you? Especially if you have a challenge with dyslexia, please let me know what you're doing, because I would like to make the most of this course. This is the point. I'm not trying to make it easy for myself. I'm trying to find a way to get what's in these brilliant books and in these phenomenal PDFs into my head in such a way that I can understand it and then figure out what it means for me and for my use of God's word so that I can teach it better. So if you've got any ideas, I'd love to know. Concluding, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said to me, this is Paul talking about what God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Yes. So the last tip really is to be kind to myself. I need to be kind to myself. This is hard. I'm studying a master's is hard enough. Studying it with dyslexia and having so much reading to do and processing, that's especially hard. I want to do it. I want to do it the best I can. I don't have to be perfect. I need to bear that in mind and be kind to myself. God's grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. Somebody who is dyslexic told me maybe I shouldn't think about it as a weakness. I understand that point, and she has a fair point there. I'm not going to argue that with that, because there are some strengths that come with dyslexia. But my point is more, this dyslexia is an extra challenge for me in absorbing all this information. Well, what it means is this is an opportunity for Christ's power to rest on me. And that's got to be a good thing. What I would suggest to you, if you struggle with anything like dyslexia, is explore. Explore and experiment, knowing that God is with you. That's the great comfort. Well, that wraps it up for today. What stood out to you from what I shared here? Drop me a line with any comments, questions, or suggestions. You can leave a comment wherever you hear this podcast or on my website. All the W's, malcolmcox.org, or you can send me an email, which is malcolm@malcolmcox.org. And if you know anyone who might benefit from these recordings, do please pass the link on. And until the next time, may God bless you in whatever He is calling you to master. Take care, and God bless you.